بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We have today a very knowledgeable brother with us who is the Imam of the Masjid in Bion City, New Jersey, Brother Abu Muslima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for taking out the time from his activities in the masjid and traveling all this distance over here, and inshallah we hope that we'll be able to benefit from his knowledge and experience with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topic is an invitation to paradise. It will be a 1 hour lecture by our brother, and after that inshallah we'll have half an hour of questions and answers, which includes the brothers and the sisters as well. The brothers can inshallah get up to the microphone and ask the question. And the sisters, preferably, if they can pen down their questions on a piece of paper, any piece of paper, including these little folders which were distributed at the point of registration. And inshallah, I will send a child, or we'll try to figure out some way to get those questions over here, or they can just put them on one side and someone will pick them up, inshallah. And now, inshallah, I will ask the brother to deliver his lecture. Jazakallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no guide has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that indeed Allah is a raqib, achievement, amma ba'du. For certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the fire. We'll begin tonight's talk off, inshallah ta'ala, was the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Fajr, verses 27-30, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَدُخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدُخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O the soul that is at ease, return to your Lord and be pleased with him, and enter you amongst my servants, and enter you into my Jannah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is inviting the believers to Jannah. And this is the invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his believing servants to enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of Jannah, among those who accept this invitation to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also says in Surah At-Tawbah,
verses 21 and 22. يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَرِضْوَانٍ وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and give them glad tidings from their Lord, of mercy from Him, and being pleased from His ridwan, and jannat, gardens for them, in which they will have na'imun muqim, or an everlasting enjoyment, abiding there and forever, and this is a great reward from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He's inviting the believers to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting the believers to Jannah. And in order to get to Jannah, we have to fulfill some of the conditions or some of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam has had us to fulfill in order to enter into that Jannah. But before we mention these things, we wanted to mention a point, and that is that no one is going to enter into Jannah simply because of those things that he did, because of his deeds, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 32, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who, when the angels take their souls, they are طيبين, they are good people, it will be said to them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, enter into Jannah by that which you used to do. And we're going to understand this ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking into consideration the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam and the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ أَحَدًا عَمَلُهُ. قَالُوا وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً وَعَمَلُوا وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَحَبَّ الْعَمَلِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمَهُ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, do your best and try to be correct and give glad tidings, because indeed no one will enter into Jannah because of his deeds. And they said, even you, Ya Rasulullah, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa sallam said, not even me, except that Allah would show His mercy to me. And know that indeed the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are done on a consistent basis, no matter how few they are. Here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is making it clear that no one is going to enter into Jannah simply because of the deeds that he does, but that he will enter into Jannah from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with the deeds that he does. So he has to work in order to get to Jannah. In order to accept this invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to work and to strive for Jannah, and he's going to enter it with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to show His mercy to us. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to try to summarize a series that we had in our masjid, the Purification of the Soul series, where we had the section 60 some ways to get to Jannah. And of course, we're not able to mention 60-some ways in tonight's class, inshallah ta'ala, but we're going to mention as many as the time permits. Before we mention them, I wanted to mention the statement of Khalid ibn Ma'dan al-Kila'i from the Tabi'een, rahimahullah, who says, إِذَا فَتَحَ لِأَحَدِكُمْ بَابَ الْخَيْرِ فَلْيُسْرِعْ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يَغْلِقُ عَنْهُ. He says, rahimahullah, if any one of you has the doors of good open for him, then he should hurry up to them, because no one knows when those doors will be closed. Here, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take a look at some of the statements of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in showing us how to accept this invitation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to enter into his Jannah. And there are going to be many ways that we'll see from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But if any one of us has the opportunity to take advantage of this good then we should take advantage of it immediately, because no one knows when these doors of good will be closed, or no one knows when he will die and he won't have a chance to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to take advantage of his life in order to do that which will enable him to enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he says in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ قُلْتُ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقْ قَالَ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقْ قُلْتُ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقْ قَالَ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقْ ثَلَاثًا ثُمَّ قَالَ فِي الرَّابِعَةِ وَإِنْ زَنَى وَإِنْ سَرَقْ عَلَى رَغْمِ أَنْفِ أَبِي ذَرٍ. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, and we're going to make this the first point, or the first way, from among the many ways to enter into Jannah, and this is by making the statement, La ilaha illallah. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that no servant of Allah ever says, La ilaha illallah. And then he dies on that phrase, except that he enters into Jannah. So I said, and this is the narrator of the hadith, the companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Abu Dharr, رضي الله عنه, he said, even if a person fornicates or commits adultery and steals, and the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, even if he commits fornication and he steals. So I said to him again, even if he commits adultery and he steals, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, even if he commits adultery and steals, and this went on three times until the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said on the fourth time, even if he commits adultery and fornication and steals, as opposed to Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu Abu Dharr. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us a way from among the ways to enter into Jannah, and that is to make the statement of La ilaha illallah. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is giving such weight to this statement of La ilaha illallah, that even if we happen to slip into some sins, among the major sins, as fornication and stealing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can enter us into Jannah because of the weightiness of the statement, La ilaha illallah. And I had mentioned in the beginning of this talk that we should take advantage of it, and that people should be quick to say, La ilaha illallah, to take advantage of this way to Jannah, because you don't know when the door of khayr is going to be closed and you won't have a chance to say, La ilaha illallah, to take advantage of that way to Jannah. Also among the ways to Jannah is by the remembrance of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ أَسْمَى مِيَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, indeed Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1. And whoever memorizes them enters into Jannah. So here, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us another way from among the ways to enter into Jannah, and that's by memorizing the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting them to ourselves, and working in accordance to the remembrance of these names, as the ulama of Islam explain, as we remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Razzaq, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for us. As we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sami', or the all-hearing, that we watch what we say, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hears what we say. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir. And when we remember this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we watch what we do, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is looking at us. And this is living and practicing Islam in accordance to the remembrance of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a way from among the ways to accept the invitation to paradise. Also among the ways is obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. And this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, all of my ummah will enter into Jannah except the one who refuses. And they said, who will refuse, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever obeys me enters into Jannah, and whoever disobeys me has refused. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shows us that obedience to him alayhi salatu wa salam is among the ways to enter into Jannah. And this is for us to be keen on this point, to remove from our tongues and from our mentality and our practicing of this deen of Islam by saying that something is only sunnah. By saying that something is only sunnah, meaning that I don't have to practice that. But that obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the ways to Jannah. And that we should take advantage of all of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam that we have the opportunity to take advantage of. Whether you have to do it or you don't have to do it, it's guidance from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should take advantage of the sunnah and not to say that that is only sunnah, meaning I don't have to do it. But that we should take advantage when we have the opportunity to do some good, to do it before that door is closed and we don't have the opportunity to do good any longer. Also among the ways to enter into Jannah is by the recitation of the Qur'an and memorizing the Qur'an. As Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلْ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتِكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُ بِهَا. And this is collected by At-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will be said to the person of the Qur'an, صاحب القرآن. And this is the person that recites the Qur'an and memorizes the Qur'an and practices Islam in accordance to the Qur'an. It will be said to him, read and recite the Qur'an beautifully, the way that you used to recite it beautifully in the dunya. Because indeed, your level in Jannah will be to the last ayat that you recite. Meaning that it will be said to the people of the Qur'an, to the Muslims on Yawm al-Qiyamah, to recite the Qur'an. And that each ayat that you recite, you will be raised a level in Jannah. And this is an encouragement for us now to take advantage of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially as the month of the Qur'an, Ramadan, it's coming up soon, and we should take advantage even if Arabic isn't our language, and that we don't know how to read the Qur'an in Arabic, that there's some days left, inshallah ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with life, to learn the Arabic, how to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to gain the blessings of reciting that book, in order to guarantee us or to help us to raise ourselves on Yawm al-Qiyamah in Jannah. And this is reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, and the Qur'an is in Arabic. And it's upon all of the believers. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to learn some of this deen of al-Islam by means of the English language, it is still compulsory on all of the Muslims to learn some of the Arabic language, some of the alphabet, so that they can read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, and some of the basic words in Arabic, so that they can understand what they say in their salah, and in their dua, and in their remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to accept this invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Jannah, we have to learn this Arabic, so that we can recite the Qur'an, so that we can be raised levels in Jannah. As Jannah is going to be levels, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for al-Jannatul Firdaus. Among particular verses and surahs in the Qur'an, and I wanted to mention them, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he showed us after he had said in general that reciting the Qur'an can earn us a way to Jannah, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he showed us particular surahs and particular ayahs in the Qur'an, as he shows us in the hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i in his book Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla. And that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من قرأ آية القرسي في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة لم يمنعه من دخول الجنة إلا أن يموت. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, whoever recites آية القرسي at the end of each compulsory salah, from the five salah, that nothing will prevent him from entering into Jannah except dying. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing that if we make the five compulsory salah, and at the end of it we recite Ayatul Kursi, that we will be from among the people of Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala, and that there's nothing stopping us from entering into Jannah except that we're still living, and that we're going to enter Jannah after we die, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. I just wanted to point out that this hadith, though it's collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, we generally know from Imam al-Nasa'i his book, the Sunan, Sunan al-Nasa'i. However, Imam al-Nasa'i and the other scholars of hadith, they have other books. And this is another book from Imam al-Nasa'i called Amulul Yawm wal Layla. And this book is on dhikr and dua. Hadith on dhikr and dua from Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يَقْرَأُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ فَقَالَ وَجَبَتْ فَقُلْتُ مَا وَجَبَتْ قَالَ الْجَنَّةُ. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, he heard a person reciting this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's compulsory, or it will take place. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Jannah. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam is teaching us that the recitation of this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, can earn us a place in Jannah. And here, I wanted to make this point that no one should ever underestimate some of these surahs in the Quran, as we used to do when we first accepted Islam. We used to think, well, I don't want to learn those little surahs, I want to learn the bigger surahs. As if the bigger the surah, the more the virtue. But here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us the virtue of surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. And that is that the reward of it is Jannah. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he heard someone reciting the surah, and he didn't say, oh, that's all you know of the Qur'an? Haven't you learned a surah bigger than Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad? But that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says it will take place. Meaning that that person will enter Jannah for reciting this Surah Al-Ikhlas. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Also among the ways to Jannah is the dua that is authentic inshaAllah ta'ala for entering the marketplace. And that is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ دَخَلَ السُّوقِ فَقَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شِرِيكَ لَهِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتِ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَلْفَ أَلْفِ حَسَنَةٍ وَمَحَى عَنْهُ أَلْفَ أَلْفِ سَيِّئَةٍ وَبَنَى لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic inshaAllah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever enters the marketplace and says, and then he said this dua, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شِرِيكَ لَهِ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتِ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, that Allah would write for him 1 million good deeds, and that he would wipe away from him 1 million bad deeds, and that he would build for him a house in Jannah. I said that this hadith is authentic inshallah ta'ala, as some of the ulama of Islam, they differ to the authenticity of this hadith. And we hope that it's authentic inshallah ta'ala, and that we should try to learn it to take advantage of it, because I don't know of any other statement or deed that we can do that the reward of it is 1 million blessings and the removal of 1 million sins and to be entered into Jannah. And this is simply for saying a dua. And most of us, we enter the marketplace every single day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the opportunity to take advantage of this dua in order to earn a place in Jannah. And here we have a marketplace at the other side of the hotel. And I hope that inshallah ta'ala when we enter it, that we will make this dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam taught us. Among the ways to Jannah, and this is among the easiest ways to Jannah inshallah ta'ala. And that's the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, man sa'alallahu al-jannata thalatha marrat, قالت الجنة اللهم أدخله الجنة ومن استجار من النار ثلاث مرات قالت النار اللهم أجره من النار. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasai, and it's authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever asks Allah for Jannah three times, then Jannah will say, O Allah, enter him into Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for Jannah. And whoever seeks Allah's protection from the fire three times, then the fire will say, O Allah, save him from the fire. O Allah, we ask you to save us from the fire. O Allah, we ask you to save us from the fire. O Allah, we ask you to save us from the fire. So here, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us what seems to be, to me, the easiest way to Jannah, and that's by asking Allah for Jannah three times. And this is among the easiest statements that we can say on our tongues. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Also among the ways to enter Jannah is by seeking knowledge. As all of us, inshallah ta'ala, we have come to this conference in order to seek knowledge of the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is among the ways to Jannah. As we see in the hadith of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله به طريقا إلى الجنة. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever treads a path, seeking knowledge in it, then Allah would make for him the path to Jannah easy. And this knowledge, of course, is the knowledge of the deen. And this knowledge is the knowledge of the deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Among the ways to Jannah is guarding the five salat, establishing the five salat in the masjid. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of Abu Dawood in Imam al-Nasa'i, خَمْسُ صَلَوَاتٍ كَتَبَهُنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ فَمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِنَّ لَمْ يُضَيِّعْ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا إِسْتِخْفَافًا بِحَقِّهِنَّ كَانَ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدٌ أَنْ يُدَخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ بِهِنَّ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدٌ إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, there are five salah that Allah has made compulsory on his servants. So whoever does them and isn't deficient in establishing the salah, then he has a ahdun, a covenant with Allah, that Allah would enter him into Jannah. And that whoever doesn't have this, whoever doesn't establish these five salah properly, then he doesn't have a covenant with Allah. If Allah chooses to punish him, he will. And if he chooses to enter him into Jannah, he will. Here, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he's showing us one of the ways to Jannah. And this way we have to be mindful here in the West, as the masjids are few in number, to make sure that we establish our five salat in the masjid. As this is the establishment of the salat, and that none of the men who are of age, from the age of puberty on, none of us, we should think that establishing the salat in our houses is the establishment of the salah. But it's from that which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has left to the believers, that they establish their five salah in the masjid. That they establish their five salah in the masjid. And we should take this into consideration wherever we live, that we should live close enough to a masjid so that we can establish our salah. And we should take this into consideration at our places where we work and where we go to school, that we make our schedule such that we can establish the salah in the masjid. Wherever we work, we have a deal with our boss that I'm going to work for you for these hours. But on these times, I'm going to take a break because my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has more right that I obey him. And he has more right that I consider what he has prescribed for me, and that I establish my salat in the masjid. All of us, we have to take into consideration this wherever we work and wherever we go to school and wherever we live, that it's from the deen of Islam to establish the salat in the masjid. This is among the ways to Jannah, by establishing the salat in the masjid. And we see here that Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he tells us that Allah says that whoever doesn't establish the salat properly. And establishing the salat properly is by having the proper khushu' or the concentration and the humility in the salat, and performing the salat as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught the believers how to make the salat, and establishing the salat in the places where the salat is supposed to be established, and those are in the houses of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whoever doesn't do this, then he doesn't have a covenant with Allah. Either Allah will punish him for not establishing the salat properly, or Allah may forgive him and enter him into Jannah. But none of us should be as brave as to think that, oh, Allah is going to forgive me and enter me into Jannah because I don't establish the five salat in the masjid. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يُصَلِّي لِلَّهِ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ ثِنْتَيْ عَشْرَةَ رَكْعَةٍ تَطَوُّعًا غَيْرَ فَرِيضًا إِلَّا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And this narration of Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, there is no Muslim servant, referring to the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in many hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, where he mentions the word slave or servant, and he's referring to the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is no Muslim servant of Allah that establishes 12 raka'ah every day. And this is voluntarily, not the compulsory salat, except that Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And we see from the narration of Imam al-Tirmidhi that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he explained that this was 2 before Fajr, and 4 before Dhuhr, and 2 after Dhuhr, and 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. And that this is the 12 raka'ah. InshaAllah ta'ala. So this sunan, and it's known as the sunan al-rawatib, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to practice, and in this hadith he's encouraging the believers to establish these 12 extra raka'ah on top of their 5 salah in order that they take advantage of a way to Jannah. And as we were mentioning in the beginning, that if the door of good is open, that you should hurry up to it, because no one knows when it will be closed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us good health, and this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should take advantage of our good health by making salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He can reward us with Jannah. And this is the benefit of good health, that we use it in order to benefit us. And that we're not like the disbelieving people who we see around us in this disbelieving society, who they are health conscious and they don't use their health to help them get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They exercise and they eat right in order to disbelieve and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter into the hellfire. And the Muslims, if we're going to be health conscious by exercising and eating right and taking vitamins and jogging and so on and so forth, that our ibad and our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be more. Why should you be healthier and your ibadah and your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is less? This is how you show your thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by your good health, by not worshipping Allah, that we're going to spend more time jogging than we're going to spend worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we're going to watch what we eat, but we're not going to watch what we say. We're going to watch what we eat, but we're not going to watch what we do. We have to take advantage of our good health to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of our acts of worship, they take good health for the person. As a salah, and jihad, and maybe building a masjid and other things where they take our health. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses us with good health, then we should take advantage of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our good health before our old age, where the lack of health comes to us, and we don't have a chance to take advantage of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us advantage of today. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he says, Ya ayyuhal nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu ta'am, wa sallu al-arham, wa sallu bil-layli wa nasi niyam, tadukhulul jannata bi salam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this authentic hadith, he says, O humanity, spread the salams. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And feed the people with food. And keep good family ties. And make salat in the night when the people are sleeping. You will enter Jannah bi salam. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us a few ways from among the ways to get to Jannah. And no one, especially in the time of these conferences, when we see a larger gathering of Muslims that we're not accustomed to in our everyday lifestyle here in the land of the disbelievers, that we should take advantage of giving everybody the salams. Salamu alaikum akhi. Every time that we meet, when we come off the elevators, when we come out of our rooms, when we go into the room, we should give the salams to the believers. As this is one of the times of the year when we have more chance to take advantage of giving the salams. As most of us, if we go back to our cities, we're not going to see so many Muslims every day like we see during the days of the conference. So we have to take advantage of giving each other the salams, as this is one of the ways to enter into Jannah. Also, we have to take advantage of feeding the people. And this is among the ways to enter into Jannah, inviting the people to our houses and feeding them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the brotherhood, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could reward us with Jannah. And keeping family ties, and that is with the believers and the disbelievers. And that this is among the ways to enter into Jannah, and of course making the salah at night when the people are asleep. Among the ways, from the ways of Jannah, is fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من صام يوما ابتغاء وجه الله ختم له بها دخل الجنة. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith selected by Imam Ahmad, that whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he dies in this state, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to the translation of the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, ختم له بها, then he will enter into Jannah. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is showing us here, and we all know the virtues of the month of Ramadan, but here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is just showing us that fasting in general is a way to Jannah. Any day that we can choose from among the days that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam had recommended, like Thursday, third Mondays and Thursdays, and 3 days out of any month, or the days of the full moon, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had encouraged us to fast so that we can seek this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to accept the invitation to Jannah. Also, among the ways to Jannah is by performing the Hajj correctly. And this is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratun lima baynahuma wal-hajju al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, one umrah to the next umrah is an atonement for the sins in between the two umrahs. And the Hajj al-Mabrur, or the Hajj performed correctly, there is no reward for it other than Jannah. And we have to be mindful of the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is as if the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam knew that the people wouldn't perform the Hajj correctly, or that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was encouraging the believers to be mindful of the rites of the Hajj, because if you perform it properly, then your reward will be Jannah. And nowadays, those among us who have made Hajj, we see that many of the believers go to make Hajj and come back and haven't made Hajj. And wallahi, we've seen this, as just last year, we saw some of the people almost crying. I spent $4,000 to make this Hajj, and I don't know what I'm doing. And this is common amongst the Muslims, unfortunately, that they go to perform the Hajj and they don't know how. And some of the ulama, they used to say, when we go on a vacation, we spend more time learning about that vacation than we do of the Hajj. What country am I going to? Do I need any visas? How long before the trip do I have to apply for the visa? Do I need any vaccinations?
what type, where is the cheapest place I can go to get them, what doctor gives them, and so on and so forth, that the people look into all of the details. Which time of the year is best to go to this country? What time of the year is best to go to that country? And then when it comes to making Hajj, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling this pillar of Islam, that the people spend their money and get on the plane and they don't know what's happening. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith is encouraging us to perform our Hajj properly, so that we can be rewarded with the reward of Jannah, and to have our sins forgiven, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in other narrations. So we should be mindful of this encouragement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, not just simply because it's a way from among the ways to Jannah, but because many of the Muslims don't perform their Hajj properly. And they lose not only this reward of Jannah, but even some of the people don't even perform the Hajj. Really, they go to perform it and they come back and they haven't fulfilled their right of Hajj. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety. Among the ways to Jannah is by giving charity. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجِهِ اللَّهِ خُتِمَ لَهُ بِهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, whoever gives any sadaqah, desiring the face of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and it's completed in this fashion, then he enters into Jannah. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us an easy way. And there are so many ways to give your charity, as there are so many Muslims who are in need of charity. There are so many Muslim organizations that are in need of charity. There are so many of the masajid that are in need of charity, that we should just be giving charity to seek this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of us should ever miss out on this opportunity, especially when we're in the land of money. As many of the people outside of America, they think that the money is rolling in the streets. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-kareem, he has been very generous to us. And not many of us are complaining of our money, except that we're living nicely and we want to live better. And that's our only complaint, that I just want a better car than the one that I have. Or I just want a bigger house than the house that I have. Or that I just want a better grade of food than the food that I have. But not many of us are complaining of the lack of anything. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And at least we can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving our wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desiring the reward that His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has showed us of Jannah. Among the ways to accept this invitation to paradise is by walking to the masjid, or walking back and forth to the masjid. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, مَنْ غَدَى إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ أَوْ رَاحَ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نُزُلًا كُلَّمَا غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, whoever goes to the masjid and comes back, enter them into Jannah, and they never had a chance to build a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be mindful of this point, and all of us should be very keen at taking advantage of the opportunity to build a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what the size of it is. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, in the narration of Ibn Majah, and it's also authentic, مَنْ بَنَى مَسْجِدًا لِلَّهِ كَمَفْحَصِ قَطَاتٍ أَوْ أَصْغَرَ بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, whoever built a masjid for the sake of Allah, like the size of a bird's nest or smaller, then Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. So no one should underestimate the size of the masjid, or that masjid isn't big enough. But that if the people have only enough money to establish a masjid that is a particular size, that everyone should be encouraged to help out, to seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even if it's the size, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning this as an example, just to show. I mean, no one's going to build actually a masjid the size of a bird's nest, as no one can make salat in it, that is the imam. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is just teaching us the point that we should never underestimate anything done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small it is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward us, and to double the reward, and to continue to double and double and double the reward of what we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. among the ways to Jannah, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, and this is among the more difficult ways, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, is the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an akthari ma yudakhilu al-nasa al-jannah, faqala taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. And this is authentically collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi wa Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, what thing are people entered into Jannah more than other things? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taqwa Allah, fear of Allah. And the fear of Allah, or taqwa of Allah, is to do what Allah commands and to stay away from what Allah has prohibited. This is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do what He tells you to and to stay away from what He prohibits. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and good character. And this is the point that I'm saying, that's one of the more difficult ones. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our character. This is another one, it may be even more difficult, and this is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the authentic hadith of Abu Dawood, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبْطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحَقًّا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبُ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقَهُ. And this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I guarantee a place in the best part of Jannah, or excuse me, on the outskirts of Jannah, for the person who leaves off arguing and debating, even if he's most correct. And I think that this point is among the points that's most closely related to the theme of the conference, that we're one ummah. And if we're going to be one ummah and to be united on the truth of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as understood and practiced by the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the tabi'un and the scholars of Islam, that we're going to have to understand this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, and to seek this reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us, and that's by leaving off arguing and debating, even if we're right. And most of the time we find ourselves in the argument. If someone comes to us and tells us, Akhi, take it easy. He says, I'm right, I'm trying to show that brother he's wrong. This is the time where the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us to leave off that arguing, even if you're right. And you can get your reward in Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is a guardian over anyone, and we're not always going to make the people understand. And who are we to make everyone understand? When the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he came with the truth to humanity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people disbelieved altogether, how much more is it for people to leave off what we say? If they left off what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, and we have to understand this point and to seek this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we're going to ever keep this ummah together. Because a lot of our division is over smaller points, where no one is able to be understanding to his brother or sister in Islam by saying, okay, Jazakallahu khayran, and to leave off the argument. Maybe the person, if they didn't understand the truth today, that they'll understand it tomorrow. And we have the statements of some of the ulama to say, don't you remember yesterday when you didn't know? And it doesn't take much for us to know yesterday how much we didn't know about the deen of al-Islam yesterday. Then why are we so amazed for someone who probably knows more than us anyway, that he doesn't accept one particular point from us? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in these hadith, showing us the ways to Jannah, we shouldn't just let them go past us so easily, but that we should take them to our hearts, and we should try to practice them in our Islam, if we're going to make our Islam better, and if we're really going to be from among the people of Jannah. And none of us should say, oh, I'll leave off that one because I'm going to do this one and get to Jannah. We know that you have to fulfill two conditions in your deeds, and that is to be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, and then in accordance with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of us know the difficulty of making your intention sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one knows what deeds of his is going to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one should say, oh, I'm not going to try that. I'm only going to handle this because I know Allah is going to enter me into Jannah because I said this dua when I entered into the soup. No one knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept from him and what he's going to turn down. And for this reason, we have to take advantage of all of these doors of good and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our good deeds. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes on to add in this hadith authentically collected by Abu Dawood, and I have a place in the middle of Jannah for the one who leaves off lying, even if he's joking. And this is common in America, as they see it on all of the movies and the TVs and the newspapers, that people are making jokes just to make people laugh, and all of them are lies. Most of the time, all of them are lies, not just some of them. And then we take this attitude too, that we want to make fun and we want to make our brothers and sisters laugh at our jokes, but we're lying. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us a better way for ourselves, and that's to leave off this lying and our joking so that we can earn the reward of Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, and I have and I guarantee a house in the highest place of Jannah for the one who perfects his character. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever can guarantee me what is between his two jaws, meaning his tongue, whoever can guarantee me that he's going to use his tongue for that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not that which is disgraceful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the criticizing and exposing of the sins of the Muslims and backbiting and spreading of namima and corruption with our tongues, that whoever can guarantee the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this, and what is between his two legs, referring to staying away from fornication and adultery, that I will guarantee him Jannah. And this is also among the difficult ones, to keep our tongue safe from harming the Muslims, as the real Muslim is the one that the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue. And we have to watch our tongues. And I always mention especially here in the land of the disbelievers, as all of the sins and that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are more magnified in the land of the disbelievers, because they have made as a way of life doing that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to watch our tongues and to watch what we say, and not to take the habits and the customs of the disbelieving people, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guaranteeing us a way in Jannah if we can watch what we say on our tongues, and if we can watch what's between our legs, meaning staying away from fornication and adultery, which has become the custom of this people, of the disbelieving people. It's the custom and it's the way, so much so that if you commit fornication and adultery long enough, they'll just consider you married. They'll consider you married. And even the brothers in Canada, they told me that the law had went all the way down to 1 year. Fornicate with her, for a year she's yours. And this is the corruption of this society. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is guaranteeing us Jannah if we can stay away from the lifestyles of these disbelievers who have made disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their way of life. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this next hadith, which is authentically collected by Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Saghir, he says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِرِجَالِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالصِّدِّيقُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالرَّجُلُ يَزُورُ أَخَاهُ فِي نَاحِيَةِ الْمِصْرِ لَا يَزُورُهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, should I not inform you of the men of Jannah? And they said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He says, the Prophet is in Jannah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And As-Siddiq is in Jannah, radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And a man who visits his brother in Islam, who is on the other side of the city, and he doesn't visit him except for the sake of Allah, then he is in Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our gathering here, inshallah ta'ala, not only seeking knowledge of this deed, but trying to visit our brothers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from among the ways, especially for the women, and that is if they are obedient to their husbands. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this authentic hadith collected by Ibn Hibban, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ بَعْلَهَا دَخَلَتْ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شَاءَتْ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is showing the women a way to Jannah that is unknown to the women of Western civilization. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, any lady that makes her five salah and fasts her month of Ramadan, and that she keeps her private parts chaste, and she obeys her husband, that she will be able to enter into any door of Jannah that she pleases. And this is especially for the women, and the women should be very mindful of this point, as the disbelievers, they have made it common, or they have made it discourageable, or something frowned upon for a lady to obey her husband. You listen to him? This is what the women encourage one another. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encourages the women, which is better than that which the disbelievers encourage one another with, and that is for the women to obey their husbands. And that this is a way to Jannah. And that they need to nick off what they see on these crazy soap operas and in these magazines and in the so-called equal rights and what have you. The best rights are the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And who gives better rights than Allah tabarakwa ta'ala? And Allah has given the lady the right to obey her husband so that she can enter into Jannah. And the women, they should take advantage of this. And of course, in this society, many of the women, they have to learn. And learning and practicing Islam, it doesn't come overnight necessarily. But once you understand this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and you know the reward that Allah tabarakwa ta'ala has for you, then the women, they will make it part of their life to start living in obedience to their husbands. And they will find, after a while, it easy to be obedient to their husbands. And how can the women not find it difficult to be, and how can the women not find it easy to be obedient to their husbands when they find it so easy to be obedient to the government? Is there anyone from among us, when we see the police on, for example, on the side of the road, does anyone have any difficulty doing the speed limit? None of the women, they have any difficulty if they see the cop on the side of the road doing the speed limit. Why don't you have any difficulty? Because he's going to give you a $25 ticket or what have you. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam is calling you to Jannah, inviting you to Jannah by obedience to your husband. How could you find it difficult? It should be easy, and the women, they shouldn't let the shaitan whisper to them and say, it's difficult to obey my husband. It's very easy. Whenever he commands you, say, yes, honey. And it stops. Whenever he commands you, yes, honey. It's just that simple. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the men and the women that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the ways to enter into Jannah is by tightening the rows and making sure there's no gaps in the rows. And this, and the next point, inshallah ta'ala, are related to the theme of this conference. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, من صد فرجة
في صف رفعه الله بها درجة وبنى له بيتا في الجنة. And this is collected by Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Awsat, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says, whoever fills the gap in a row while we're making the salah, then Allah would raise him a level in Jannah and will build for him a house in Jannah. Here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us one of the ways to Jannah, and this is also one of the ways to keep the brotherhood tight and to keep the unity among the Muslims, and that is keeping the rows tight when we make our salah by lining up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. And this is one of the commandments of the Messenger of Allah that many of the Muslims have forgotten about when it comes to practicing this Islam. And we don't know of how many messages we've been to and of how many lines we've stood in the salah where the Muslims do not line up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. If we close those ranks, it's from among the ways to Jannah. And if we close those ranks, it's among the ways to keep the brotherhood tight. As the Messenger of Allah, he shows us that our hearts will be divided if our rows aren't straight. And if our rows aren't tight, then our hearts will be divided. And if we wonder why the ummah isn't together, let's just look at our salat line. And we see that we're not lining up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder, and then we're still wondering why we have problems in this ummah. And some of the people, unfortunately, of ignorance, they have made statements like, we have big problems with the Muslims. How could you be worried about such a small issue of straightening the rows? The big problem stems from overlooking that small issue of straightening the rows. Why are the Muslims fighting one another? Why are the Muslims hating one another? Why are the Muslims against one another? Because they don't line up straight in their rows. As this is one of the ways of tightening the heart. And if we don't take this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will divide our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts united on this deen of al-Islam. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shows us the way, among the ways to Jannah, and this is by tightening the rows, lining up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. And this is the main responsibility of the Imam, to make sure that the rows are straight, and whoever the Imam asks to help him, should help him. And we should go to advise the Imam if we see that the Imam is lacking. If we see that the Imam is lacking, we should go to the Imam and say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is inviting us to Jannah by keeping the rows tight. Will you take this advice, or will you accept this invitation to Jannah and to make sure the rows of our masjid is straight? Is there an Imam that we would think that would refuse this invitation if we came to him gently? We should be considerate to the believers and to help one another to accept the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the hadith that we had mentioned earlier, Abashiru. Give the people glad tidings and be inviting to the people. Don't try to chase the people away with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and with the ayat of the Quran. But we should be inviting the people to practice this deen. Not akhi, put your foot next to the brother's shoulder. Yeah, Imam. Why are you so stupid? You shouldn't even be the Imam. You don't even know that you're supposed to straighten the rows. Allahu Akbar. Who in the world placed this brother in charge of us? We shouldn't have this type of attitude, but we should be inviting to pull the Imam to the side, to speak to him, to show him the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, to invite him to the truth, because when we hear the invitation of our Lord tabarakhu wa ta'ala and of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you find that most of us accept the invitation of our Lord and our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll end this off as the brother is pushing me. And that is with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عليكم بالجماعة وإياكم والفرقة فإن الشيطان مع الواحد وهو من الاثنين أبعد من أراد بحبوحة الجنة فليلزم الجماعة. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I advise you with the jama'ah, and beware of division, because indeed the shaytan is with one person and he is farther away from two people. And whoever desires
the best place in Jannah, then let him hold fast to the Jama'ah. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us among the ways to Jannah is holding fast to the Jama'ah, trying to be one ummah. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the people who set up this conference. And that this conference, inshallah ta'ala, it was an attempt to practice this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by uniting the Muslims or encouraging the Muslims to be united as one ummah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk walhamdulillah.
JazakAllah khair for your talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this view from you. If the brothers have any questions, they can inshallah go to the microphone. And if the sisters have any questions, they can send one of the children over there with the questions over here. Inshallah, I will take the questions, as many as I can in the few minutes which are left. Brother Abdullah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
Barakallahu feek. Wa feek Allah. I have three questions. First one.
One at a time, please.
Okay. You mentioned the deeds that will be wiped away.
Yes, that's for making the dua entering the marketplace.
Right.
Yes.
I think you had mentioned afterwards a million.
Yes.
So is it 100 or a million?
1 million. Did I mention 100?
Nope, 1 million.
I think the first time you said 100, but then...
Excuse me, if I said 100, then I was mistaken.
A million good deeds, and then...
A million
bad deeds will be wiped away.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And then, and even in one of the narrations, 1 million degrees in Jannah.
I
ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow all of the Muslims to memorize this dua and to practice.
And the sunnahs, the 12,
yes.
And the prayers, did you mention those?
Yes. Two before Fajr, four before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Isha.
And the last one is when you mentioned the man came to the Prophet next, or the Prophet may I tell you who's in paradise?
Yes.
The Prophet's in paradise, and you said
Al-Siddiq.
I mean Abu Bakr.
Inshallah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is the nickname or the laqab that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam he gave to Abu Bakr Al-Siddiq, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in quite a few hadith he used to refer to Abu Bakr as Al-Siddiq. And the ulama of Islam and the explanations of hadith, they usually refer, as they say, As-Siddiq, it means Abu Bakr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. If a woman's husband orders her not to wear hijab, she is to obey her husband, and he will get the sin, and she will not. Is this Islamically correct? No, this is not Islamically correct. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that there's la ta'ata fi ma'siyatillah, that there's no obedience in disobedience to Allah, that there's no obedience in disobedience to Allah. It's disobedience for a man to prohibit his wife from wearing the hijab. And if she obeys him, she's disobedient, and he's disobedient. If she obeys him, she's disobedient, and he's disobedient. Obedience is only in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The
inshallah ta'ala, I have two questions.
Just one, and then we will take the sister's question, and inshallah, then you can...
Okay. The first one, when we were talking about practicing the salah in the masjid, these are steps of going to Jannah. And I know you're familiar with the hadith of the saying, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, and every left foot removes bad deed. Well, since, you know, we have cars nowadays, can you tell me if this... still applies if we're driving and we still say it, Allahu
A'lam.
As for myself, you know, I like to hold fast to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and not to stretch it. There's no escape from walking to the masjid. Whether you drive, you're not going to drive your car to the musalla and jump out. You're going to drive to the masjid and then you're going to walk. So there's no escape from walking, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And still the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in other narrations, he shows that the one with the biggest reward, the one with the biggest reward is the one who is most, is farthest from the masjid. So this is still a reward for the person who has to come a distance from the masjid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the brother, he reminded me of a point, and I meant to mention it, and I didn't, and that was that, I wanted to repeat the point that there were many ways to Jannah that we didn't mention. As I had mentioned earlier in the talk that there were more than 60 some ways to get to Jannah, and even we found out that it was over 70 after the class was finished over a period of weeks, and that whoever reads the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he finds that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam says whoever says this enters into Jannah, or whoever does this enters into Jannah, then know that this is a way from among the ways of Jannah, and that if Allah blesses you to have this door open, then to hurry up through it before it's closed. Inshallah, brother, most sisters are and will be willing to obey her husband if he is in fact obeying Allah. The problem of the Muslim women of this ummah is most husbands don't obey Allah, therefore loses the respect of the Muslim women. How can a woman obey a husband that doesn't obey Allah? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands her. I didn't mention, and this is a point for the women, and I'll just point them, as there was, when we covered this point, I was using a book as my basis, and I had branched off to handle some of the topics as were needed, as this point. And I had mentioned in that talk, the women of Jannah, many of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam concerning women's obedience to their husbands. And I'll paraphrase one of the hadith where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked one of the ladies, do you have a husband? She said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, how do you treat him? She said, I never ever fall short in pleasing him and obeying him except when I find myself disabled to do it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, you better watch yourself because he's your way to Jannah or your way to the hellfire. So the sisters, they have to obey their husbands. And if the husband is falling short, then this deen is a nasiha. If the husband is falling short, then this deen is nasiha. O husband, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Husband, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Advise him in a way that is gentle and easy so that you don't fall into any disobedience yourself. And to advise subhanahu wa ta'ala, your husband, he's a Muslim. Muslims have some type of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He advises us to remind the women, to remind, because a reminder benefits to believers. So sometimes husbands, as well as the wives, we need reminders to help us stay in the realm of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sir, is there another question? Please go to the... after the brother, inshallah. Yes. No, after him you can ask, because you've already asked. Jazakallah khair.
I had a question about the building the masjid. I heard that from the sunnah, well, not from the sunnah, to build a masjid in a given area if there was another masjid in that area. So I'm wondering what's the distance, especially in this society when we have cars and stuff, to establish or build a masjid if there's another masjid in the nearby area.
This question is a little intricate, and it might take quite a discussion in order to handle it. So maybe if we stand on the side, inshallah ta'ala, we can try to take a look at this. But I can say in general that what is known as the ulama, they explain that the Muslims don't build too many masjids in an area, but they build one masjid for an area. And this is what is known from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it would be a lengthy discussion. And we can sit down on the side. And I wanted to advise the brothers, as I wanted to handle the questions of the sisters first, because the brothers, if they don't pose their question now, then there's always time on the side to handle some of the questions, inshallah ta'ala, as opposed to the sisters. They're not going to come up to me on the side and ask me, excuse me, akhi, can I ask you the question? So let's try to handle the questions of the sisters and to be a little considerate. And this is the point that the brother had hurried me from mentioning, and I can take the time to mention it. It's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ from Sahih Muslim, and it's Sallallahu Alaihi Hadith, and that مَنَ حَبَّ أَنْ يُزَحَزَحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, whoever loves to be kept far away from the fire and to enter into the Jannah, and then let him die while he's in the state of belief in Allah and the last day, and that he is in the state of treating people the way he would love them to be treated. And I think that we should treat the sisters in a way that we want the sisters to treat us, and that is to handle them and not to overlook, inshallah ta'ala. Without the benefit of translations, without the benefit of the press, how Islamically and today will this fifth information be imparted to the indigenous Muslim population? Simply, what is the literature that will reach those who cannot afford to buy? Yes. Oh, you handled that, inshallah. What is the evidence that is presented by the Hanafi madhab for women praying close to the ground, different from the men? I'm not from among the people who memorize all of the positions of the madhab. Though I have studied them, I haven't made it my business to memorize all of the positions of the madhab. However, we don't know of any evidence from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah that tells the women to make the salat different from the men, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. When you mention the point of wives obeying their husbands, you need to point out that husbands should not abuse this authority. I hope that the husbands, they took this last hadith of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, that they want to die while they're in a state of treating people the way that they want people to treat them, so that they can be entered into Jannah and to be kept far away from the fire. Also, a husband cannot forbid his wife from going to the masjid to seek knowledge. This is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I hope and I fear from this question that the women may be having some reluctancy in obeying their husband. And I hope that this question isn't from a person who has some type of reluctancy in obeying her husband. Obey your husband, and then let all of us learn Islam. But let's not get with one another to fight back and forth. If you tell me to obey my husband, then my husband, he needs to obey me. And if I tell the brothers, then we could have. As I remember in our masjid, as we have classes regularly, if we have the class on the responsibility of the Muslim man, for example, then the men are going to say, aren't the women supposed to obey me? Forget about the women obeying you for a minute, and let's look at your responsibility as a man. And if the hadith is pointing to the women, then let's forget about the man for a minute and let's look at you. I think that we should take the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as guidance, and stop looking at it as we're going to fight to see who's best or who gets the most right or what have you. We have to look at who's going to Jannah and who's not, because this is the bottom line of our life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ, that a group of people are in Jannah and a group of people are in the fire. Here we've covered many ways to get to Jannah. Are we going to take advantage of them, or do we want to be debating and arguing to see who has more right than the next person? I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us focused in our lives and makes the goal of Jannah right in front of us at all times. You mentioned standing foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder, and keep the rows tight. Women that I know seem not to follow this practice, feeling it is only for the brothers, and they don't keep their feet together. Often they also don't stand close together either, straightening the lines. Do these guidelines hold for men and women? Yes. Everything from the Quran and the Sunnah is for men and women alike, except where Allah and His Messenger specified. This is for women only, or that is for men only. Otherwise, everything is for men and women. Everything is for men and women. And I advise, and I usually do this, the book written by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, Riyadu Salihin, or Gardens of the Righteous. Every Muslim household should have this book. And every Muslim family should be reading it. And if you're single, read it by yourself. Because this book has, alhamdulillah, many of the virtuous deeds mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. And from among the virtuous deeds is straightening the rows. And he has a beautiful chapter in that book on straightening the rows. And we hope that the sisters read it and to advise one another with it, as the brothers should do the same. You said it is best to pray in the masjid and you will get blessings for going to and from. Does that go for women also? It's compulsory for the men to go to the masjid to establish the five salah. And that if they do, they're going to be rewarded. Just as it's compulsory for us to fast the month of Ramadan, we're still rewarded for fasting the month of Ramadan. And nothing is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than fulfilling that which He has made compulsory on His servants. So it's compulsory for the men to establish the salat in the masjid, and they're rewarded going to and from the masjid. The women, it's not compulsory on them to go to the masjid. If they want to, they can go, and they will get the reward, inshallah ta'ala, and no husband has the right to prevent his wife from going. But it's not compulsory for the women to establish the five salat in the masjid. Rather, it is better for the women to establish the five salat in their homes. And even better, in the most private part of their homes. And this is from one of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Now I'll paraphrase it, giving the meaning. With the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, if the lady establishes the salat in her house, it's better than if she establishes it in the masjid. If she establishes it in the front part of the house, or the part of the house where outsiders are more likely to come to that part of the house, like in our houses, normally the living room, where there can be some traffic, then it's better to make salat in that instead of that place, and a place other than that is better than making it in that place. And then a place that's even more private than the place that's better than that in the house is even better. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he shows the women that there are levels or degrees of virtue in establishing their salat and places. And the masjid is going to be last on the line, and then the place where a lot of traffic is in the house, and then the place where the least amount of traffic, and then like that. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has explained. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
JazakAllah khair. Inshallah, after this, we have the official opening from 8:15 to 8:45, which is after about 10 minutes. And then we have a 15-minute, half an hour break. And then from 9:15 to 11 o'clock, we have a panel discussion on the Quran and unity by Sajid Mir and Jamaz Rabozo. Inshallah. And tomorrow, the first lecture will be, of the day, will be by our brother Abu Muslimah from 8:30 to 10.